We'll continue reading from Thus Spake Ramana. We've reached the teaching number 7. A person should surrender the personal selfishness which binds him to the world. Giving up the false self is renunciation. Okay, so it's not about renouncing things or renouncing ambitions. It's renouncing the sense of one's existence as a person. It's a very radical realization. Setting apart time for meditation is only for the merest spiritual novices. One who is advancing will begin to enjoy the deeper beatitude, whether at work or not. While his hands are in society, he keeps his head cool in solitude. Ramana teaches that there are 4 phases, or we could say 4 paradigms of reality that one goes through in one's spiritual development. He teaches that we start out, most of us, at least in the West, believing in what he called the Srishti-Drishti theory. In other words, one assumes that there's a real world that one is born into, and one's consciousness is a product of the complexity of the brain and the nervous system, etc., and the world exists as a self-standing reality outside of oneself, and one is dealing with an existent, complex environment that one has to adapt to. This is the basic reductionist scientific view that people are indoctrinated into. But he says that once you go deeper within in meditation, you realize that isn't a true theory at all. You realize how much of the world you're projecting and how many illusions you have about yourself, about other people, about reality. And how wrong science, in quotes, is about its theories and how much they have changed, even from the time of Newton to quantum physics, from a belief in causality to physics now saying, no, there's no such thing as cause and effect. It's all probability waves, and there is no matter at all, etc. And so one realizes that one's original view was a very primitive and infantile perspective, and that the world is actually a projection of consciousness. But then he says one goes even deeper into oneself and begins to reach a level of consciousness that is, you could say, both metanoid and paranoid simultaneously. He calls it the ekajivavada, which is a version of what in the West would be called solipsism, which means that you realize that the world is entirely unreal, not just that you superimpose projections on a real world and you don't see it as it is, but according to your own perspective, but even deeper than that, that there actually is no one else but yourself, and you're living in a dream, not in a world, but a dream of a world. And that's when the spiritual journey becomes interesting and also frightening, because you realize that if you've created a nightmare, that that has to do with your own impurity, and you had better deal with that internally, not the way you had been dealing with it, by getting angry at people and running away or getting in conflicts or flagellating yourself because you're a sinner, or whatever has been your objective way of trying to discharge the tensions and the stresses of the ego's inability to adapt to and flow with a world full of glitches and of impossible relationships that are constantly creating miscommunications. And so you realize that it's entirely your own responsibility, and that this dream of a world has the power to be changed if you find the root of the consciousness that is dreaming it. But then you get to, when you do get to that root, you reach what Ramana calls the final stage, which is the Ajatavada. And in that stage, you are so withdrawn from the dream of the world into the inner light that literally the world disappears. The dream no longer has any effect. It's the dream of an ego. And you have no interest in the ego because you realize that that was unreal, that all of it was a delusion within a delusion. And then once there is the freedom from that delusion, then one is unaffected by whatever occurs, and that this is the ultimate solitude that we must go into, that requires the grieving of the ego, of having to let go of its hopes for finding fulfillment in the world, with others, in relationship. And one can only find it ultimately in not only relationship, but union with that Supreme Self that is beyond all the dreams and all the thoughts and the emotions of the ego and even of the soul level of consciousness. So Ramana says, you have to ask yourself the question, who am I? This investigation will lead in the end to the discovery of something within which is behind the mind. Solve that great problem and you will solve all other problems thereby. Man's real nature is happiness. But happiness is inborn in the self. It's lost once you lose the self and you fall into the ego. So his search for happiness is an unconscious search for his true self. The true self is imperishable. Therefore, when a man finds it, he finds a happiness which does not come to an end. But this imperishable self is eternal because there is no world. It has no body. That self is so different from the false ego self that the ego self cannot imagine or conceive or hold on to that level of consciousness until there has been a complete transformation of the self's attitudes and orientation and a dispassion for a world that will not bring gratification or fulfillment. And one realizes that one's happiness does indeed lie only in the innermost self that is unborn, uncreated, and non-existent from the phenomenal perspective. For one who has realized that state of perfect being, which is really the inherent, indescribable bliss of the absolute self, nothing else remains to accomplish. The self is one, and self-knowledge is unique in that the knowing self is the known self. The knowing self is not different from what is known. The self is knowing. That's all we mean by a self. Consciousness, knowing. But there is nothing to know other than the self. So the knower is the known. It can never become a known or unknown object. So the problem with the ego mind is it can only recognize objects. It cannot recognize even the subject, let alone the emptiness of the subject, the lack of being of the subjectivity, the fictional nature of the discourse of the mind and its projections. And so it is only when the mind has been silenced completely that the fullness that is imminent within the emptiness of that silent, still consciousness emerges and is revealed. And that is what brings the happiness. In fact, as he says, the bliss of the perfect self that has never gone through the ordeal of experience and of having to learn from a state of ignorance and a state of fallenness and a state of defilement and sin and trauma and despair and anxiety and terror of death. It cannot ever go through any of those because it is that perfect self that is the dreamer who is never captured by the dream. That is what you are. But you have to determine that you no longer want to be captured in the false realm of experience and choose freedom and choose the bliss of your perfect self rather than the imperfect ego that you keep trying desperately to improve and to improve its conditions and circumstances, but you can never achieve reaching a place where you are happy because that false self is not meant to be happy. And it is only because it is unhappy that there is the motivation to seek the self. And so it is implanted in the ego that it must quest for its happiness and find it within rather than without. And that is the hero's journey, the journey of the deconstruction of its own unreality and the discovery of what is real that makes one a true hero because one becomes independent of a world, not seeking anything from anyone, and one finds the power to be that supreme beingness that is our true nature. And it is our birthright, everyone, to discover and reveal that self and to shine through one's dream world and uplift the multiplicity that one has dispersed one's consciousness into and gather all again into the oneness that comes out of the opening of the heart in supreme love, which is the essence and the real cause of the bliss of the perfect self that loves unconditionally and loves always, knowing that that love is for oneself and it is oneself, and that all those who are loved within the plane of multiplicity are only those aspects of the self that have not yet been sufficiently understood and contained as aspects of oneself to enable the return of consciousness from the world, because one has given to the world the love that was sought, that is sought by every being, and one can then return from the journey into experience, into the imperience and the sumerience of that realization that we have never been born because time itself is an illusion. And the world can rest in peace along with one's blissful realization that one is both creator, sustainer, destroyer, and redreamer of the cosmic dream. May you find the peace that comes from shifting the attention from Srishti to Drishti, from world to consciousness, and realize that you are the master of your consciousness, and determine your own degree of happiness. And may you know the deeper peace of the realization that even consciousness derives from the Ekajiva, the source of all the archetypes that produce the apparent existence of a world. And you enter into that silence and solitude that is the aloneness that is the portal to the supreme beingness. And may you know that supreme peace and bliss and presence that is your uncreated self, with all of its beauty and mercy and goodness that enables the withdrawal of all projections from the world so that all suffering can end, and that supreme beatitude can be realized by all as the single heart of the universe.